is the WTF Bach Podcast.
Right, that work goes fingers.
The podcast about Johann Sebastian Bach, brought to you by his prodigal son, WTF Bach. Join WTF Bach as he guides your mind through a contrapuntal journey.
Why don't you let WTF Bach guide you?
And now, here's WTF Bach.
It is WTF Bach. Evan Schinner's here. Yes, excited to tell you about the new Bach Store. Bach Store. What is the Bach Store? Why, that is my aesthetic offspring come to life. That is this podcast embodied in a storefront. That is my Instagram account installed into a place of residence. I move into a city, I rent a store for a few weeks to a month, I install a piano, a clavichord, a harpsichord, if available, I bring my t-shirts, some Bach-themed merchandise, and I play Bach for 5 hours a day, every single day, for free. Sometimes other guest artists come and play with me in the evenings. It's a pop-up Bach venue where you come, you drink your coffee, sip your tea. It's a spontaneous gathering, often in the evenings, guest artists. Sometimes we have pop music, rap music. In fact, the last time we did this in Germany, we had a street artist, Mark Jung, came in and painted part of the store, painted a Bach sort of graffiti while I played my Bach-inspired electronic music. But of course, that's after I play in the days 5 hours of the keyboard music and I talk about it. You sit there and you hopefully enjoy. This Bach store will be in Erfurt, Germany, presented in conjunction with the Thüringer Bachwochen, that is the Thuringia Bach Week, which is a Bach festival in Thuringia, the state, actually, in Germany, where the Bachs were from, in fact. And it will open on March 14th and close on March 28th, so we got a 2-week run this year. It's quite a privilege to be there, actually, because I take the train right past Eisenach, the city where Johann Sebastian was born, and the Bach store is down the street from the church in Erfurt where his parents were married. And all through this beautiful town, you see plaques that say, here so-and-so Bach was born, or here XYZ Bach was the church organist. The whole place is vibrating to the strains of condensed counterpoint. So come check it out. Now, I know some of you in Argentina or in Thailand are thinking, I'm not going to come to Germany. Ha! Huh? Not to worry. I will be live streaming, should the technology comply. It can always be shaky in these vacant storefronts. Every day I will be streaming, I think, from my YouTube account, youtube.com/@WTFBach. It's the at symbol followed by WTFBach. It will be the first link in the description. I should be live streaming there every single day, again, from 12 to 6 p.m. German time. What will I be playing? Well, that's the exciting part. I've got the whole Bach keyboard repertoire on a little screen, and I usually end up getting to pretty much every part of the keyboard repertoire, what with playing 5 hours a day and things. So if you want to hear a particular piece, call it out, or I should hopefully find a way that if you, no matter where you are in the world, are streaming, you can request a BWV. Maybe if it's typed into the live chat or something, we'll figure it out as it goes along during the 2 weeks. Which brings me to more shameless self-promotion about that YouTube account. Now, I'm slowly uploading videos of me playing in my home so far every other week. And you should have a new BWV every other week. I didn't know where to start, how to organize it, so I started counting down from the number of 1,000, BWV 1,000, which is, with a few notable exceptions, the highest BWV number of the keyboard work. So the first video, which went live on the first of this month, was BWV 1,000, and the next will be BWV 999. Oh, yes, yes, yes. So I think you should subscribe to the YouTube channel because also I started making this podcast before it was possible to host the episodes on YouTube. So the YouTube channel is catching up with this podcast. It's actually posting every Wednesday podcast episodes from about 3 years ago. So maybe you're thinking, oh, I missed WTF's coverage for the Art of Fugue from all those lonely, lovely pandemic months. Well, go back and check it out. And perhaps you're thinking, but I'm actually already listening to this podcast on YouTube, and I think that this podcast isn't coming out quickly enough. Well, then you can head over to the Substack, where this podcast is current in 2024, and there's probably 50 hours of podcast waiting for you. So that's the announcement in brief. The Bach Store, streaming on YouTube, links below, March 14th to March 28th in Erfurt, Germany, with the Thüringer Bachwoche. And now, Here, as promised, is the lovely organ piece from a few episodes again. This is me playing the St. Anne's organ in London. And then, because I imagine not everyone really cares about my career, what I'm doing, they want to know about Bach. So, I understand. We're going to talk about the Neuer Meister collection briefly, from which this lovely piece comes after I play. So, to refresh your memory, this was the chorale melody that was mentioned in conjunction with a cantata we were looking at in the previous episode. The melody comes from, we sometimes call it in English, O Sacred Head Surrounded. You know it as perhaps the St. Matthew Passion chorale. This is an elaboration on that melody. So we hear sort of the melody being, I guess we could say, pixelated or something like that. We have first note, second note, third note, fourth note, etc. So this very simple melody becomes this long stream of ornate music. Just to show you how the difference of a microphone will affect the recording, because I didn't bring my recording equipment to London, so I recorded this directly into the computer, and I moved it in a few different places just so you could hear that again. Now that you know that you should be listening for the melody, I'm going to play the same piece, but now it's a little bit closer to the keyboard so you can hear all this lovely tracker action, because this is actually an authentic organ from the 19th century that's the interior of which is all wood, so you can really hear all that, you know, wooden mechanics working and clicking along.
Thank you.
Now, the Neuer Meister collection is also fascinating because it was pretty much discovered in 1984. One of the latest, most important discoveries in Bach's music, shedding light on some of the earliest of his music. A 20th century, nearly 21st century discovery that sheds light on the origins of this great composer's music. I'm just going to read a little bit from the preface of the Neue Bach-Ausgabe. The present volume contains a complex of 36 fugal and figured organ chorales handed down solely in the so-called Neue Meister collection. Footnote. This manuscript, preserved at Yale University, New Haven, Connecticut, stems from the posthumous estate of the Darmstadt court organist Johann Christian Heinrich Rinck that only attracted serious attention from Bach scholars as of 1984, having previously been mentioned in Henry C. Fall's typewritten master's thesis, a critical bibliographical sketch of the Rinck collection in Yale University in 1958. Okay, so someone mentioned it in 1958, but it only attracted serious attention in 1984. Going on, this handwritten collection of 82 chorales, largely from the late 17th and early 18th century, was compiled by Johann Gottfried Neuermeister, who lived from 1756 to 1840, a teacher and organist born in the Vogtland region of Thuringia. Well, that's where the Bach store is. Neuermeister was a pupil of Georg Andreas Sorge, S-O-R-G-E, who was an organist and theorist who, like Bach, was a member of the Leipzig Society of Musical Sciences and who was well acquainted with the Leipzig master. Yes, they're talking about Bach. It was in 1774, at the age of 18, that Neuer Meister became a teacher in the village of Friesau near his native Ebersdorf. There he was a member of the Moravian Brethren, and after a few years he relocated with its pastor to the Moravian congregation in Copenhagen. In May 1790, the congregation of the Free Imperial City of Freiburg in the Vetters district hired, quote, Herr Neuermeister, a man equally adept in scholastic sciences and in music, to be its head school teacher, sexton, deputy organist, and bell ringer. His duties as organist were, quote, to play the organ every Friday during the weekly sermon for the congregational singing and the postlude, and on Sundays and on feast days to do the same in church for the prelude, the figural music, and the congregational singing before the Lord's Prayer, but from Easter to Michaelmas for the congregational singing after the sermon and the postlude, and to deputize for the principal organist in the afternoon services whenever the latter must go to the castle church, both in the congregational singing and in the figural music, but to play the organ alone after the sermon, dot, dot, dot. Okay, so it's one of these very elaborate late 18th century job descriptions that Herr Neuermeister had to basically play the organ how and when. Going on. It's fairly safe to assume that Neuermeister obtained his initial knowledge of Bach's music primarily from his teacher Sorge, but whether Sorge, who died in 1778, played a role in the transmission of this chorale collection is rather unlikely. It is therefore unclear how Neuermeister gained access to a repertoire from the immediate surroundings of the Bach family, whose most prominent members, Johann Christoph, Johann Michael, and Johann Sebastian Bach, make up 80% of the collection, thereby accounting for its special significance and character. We're dealing with a handwritten collection, it said, of 82 organ chorales. J.C., J.M., and J.S. Bach make up 80% of it, and it said that 36 of those 82 are J.S. Bach. Let's go on a bit. It was evidently intended for practical use and largely reflects his needs and experience as a teacher and organist who was apparently incapable of improvising organ chorales, and who was not, or is not known to have been, a composer. So I love imagining this. Already toward the 19th century, it seems like this skill of improvising organ chorales was getting lost, didn't know how to do this thing anymore. So they needed to write out these in full and use them throughout the church service. So we can imagine that this is actually what this music is. It would have been something that Bach or a more capable organist would have improvised during the service. You have the hymn melody of the day, and there's Bach just noodling around on this, and this is what the collection is. And thankfully, it's been written down. It goes on to mention Neuermeister's ability as a scribe, a few slips he made here and there, but however, he is more or less reliable. And then it mentions that, quote, As a well-attested and generally reliable source, the Neuer Meister manuscript is highly untypical of the 1790s with regard to its repertoire, layout, and notation. This suggests that it was drawn from an early 18th century original, no longer traceable today. The ties between the chorales attributed to Johann Sebastian Bach and repertoire largely belonging to the late 17th century suggest that the works originated at a very early date. This finding is corroborated by the fact, apparent in other early works by Bach, that the pieces were not disseminated among his pupils, and in particular, the provenance of the hymn tunes points to Ohrdruf, Lüneburg, and Weimar, so that most of the chorales likely originated around 1700. Now that's when Bach is only 15 years old. Whatever the case, the Neuer Meister collection gives us access to the oldest layer of Johann Sebastian Bach's early works. In particular, it reveals how Bach, a second-generation pupil of Pachelbel, a second-generation pupil of Pachelbel, was able to move freely and unconventionally in the context of Central and North German traditions, in their individuality and broad range of their adherence to existing models, not to mention their experimental license. The chorales attributed to Johann Sebastian Bach stand out clearly from their surroundings in the Neuer Meister collection. Now that is a topic possibly for a thesis, right? How exactly does that 15-year-old J.S. Bach stand out from his older relatives? They mentioned the three Bachs in the collection, J. Christoph Bach, not to be confused with Bach's own son, Johann Christian Bach, who was the London Bach, but this is the older Christoph Bach, who was, I believe, his cousin, and then J. Michael Bach, who was his cousin's brother, right? So how does the 15-year-old Bach stand out in the Neuer Meister collection against these older and more experienced musicians already? But you can see, somehow, you can see the makings of this early master even there. Now, if you look at this book, you'll notice that it looks more or less like it's keyboard notation, not organ notation. Why? Because it only has two staffs, not three staffs. There's no staff for your feet to play. There's only the two. What does that mean? Does it mean that you wouldn't be playing with your feet? No, I go on to mention the notation and performance practice. Quote, "The two-staff notation is in accord with the source and generally prevailing practice in both the 17th century and in Bach's music." Because it is true, actually, most of Bach's organ music comes down to us in only two staffs, with the feet as well on the bottom staff. You just have to sort of look in there and figure it out. The organ chorales in the Neuer Meister collection are therefore not Manualiter works. Therefore, he's saying it's not works just for the hands alone, but rather they presuppose an ad libitum use of the pedals, even where simple Manualiter performance is possible, and leave the performance method to the organist's discretion. However, the entrance of the pedals is occasionally indicated by standard markings, P or PED, P-E-D. This proves to be structurally necessary, above all, when the cantus firmus is placed in the bass, and in other passages, the use of pedals is required to facilitate execution. The same ad libitum principle applies to the use of more than one manual. And in only three chorales is the execution required on two manuals, as indicated by Rückpositiv and Oberwerk, which is actually one of the three is the one that I just played, or on alternating manuals, as indicated by forte and piano. So this is really what I love, particularly about early Bach, that you have this booklet of organ music on only two staffs, and he doesn't say how many manuals you're supposed to play it on, what you're supposed to play with the feet, but you know that it's this very living practice where the organist is using feet here and there, switching manuals here and there, and above all, singing out these chorale melodies, which have been the focus of several of the recent episodes of this podcast. So I will play in my organ tech by Modart. Thank you for sponsoring me again. I will play into this little organ setting a few more of these lovely Neuer Meister chorales and maybe play the chorale settings after it, just the four-part harmony, say. And you could just get a sense of the 15-year-old Bach, how he was already from 15 years old, using the sacred melodies, the Lutheran hymn melodies, the hymns of his Thuringian surroundings, and exploring the contrapuntal abilities of them. And I just think, how lucky are we that this music came to pass in the 80s? I mean, the copyright on this book is 1985, first printing. I would love to have heard Glenn Gould play some of these, but he was already dead by the time that this music was published. So I'll leave it at that. I'll play a few of these, and then We'll go off and enjoy our day. Thanks for listening.
Evan's Substack, all things in the mind of Evan Shinner. WTFBop.substack.com.
Thank you for listening. This podcast exists because of listeners like you.
That organ is so organized.
So
support on PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo.
You can find all relevant links in the episode description.